We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go.
Afternoons on The Score.
There's a rock and roll anniversary, too, I wanted to mention, just because this is so hideous. I do check this website most days, this day in rock history, Danny, and usually that site just states things as facts, you know, on this day, Jimi Hendrix was born in Seattle, blah, blah, blah. It's just a fact. But today's, whoever put together the text for this decided they would comment, because here's what it said on my site today. A little opinion offered. 1981, June 10. It's a great day for music as Steve Howe, Jeff Downes, John Wetton, and Carl Palmer form Asia.
What kind of music do they play? Crap rock?
No.
Whist rock?
That's it.
It's a great day for music. Who said it's a great day for music? Who said that?
Who said that?
Whoever said anywhere it was a good day for music because Asia are born.
In fact, just to kick him a couple extra bucks, here's 5 seconds of time for me to fly.
No, don't! All the money goes to my ex-wife.
Can you play our song?
Okay, lead singer from Asia.
Now, sure as the sun will cross the sky.
Asia, you framed an Asia poster?
You framed an Asia poster? How hard did the people at the frame store laugh when you brought this in?
They did not laugh at me.
No, I hear because you like Asia.
Asia.
I'm not the best speaker in the world. Maybe I could put it best in the words of the time of the song. It was the heat of the moment, telling me what your heart meant.
The heat of the moment, showing your eyes.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
Neil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Framed an Asia poster, Mac.
Yes, he did, and he regretted that. His new pals from the electronics store can't...
Smart Tech,
thank you.
No
yeah, you had my back there. Good. You've seen that as many times as Chris and I have seen Goodfellas.
I'm lucky probably to know him.
Yeah, I go deep on 40-year-old virgin.
Yep.
Good cameo by Kevin Hart in that movie.
Fantastic.
It's one of the best. It's like a throwaway scene, but we quote it all the time. I'm going to need that for the price of On the House.
On the House.
Both y'all. Both y'all.
It's beautiful. This hour,
Kevin Hart was sitting next to you, didn't you?
I did. It was a real impersonation. This hour on The Score brought to you by Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights, the bright way to buy. Lawrence Holmes talks with Joe Madden every Tuesday at noon. Mac, it's a Joe day on The Score, I've been
Joe
told.
Joe Sheehan is on with Bernstein and McKnight for your baseball analytics, and then Joe Madden joins Lawrence every Tuesday at noon.
And I've decided that we need to start taking a call from someone named Joe.
Just all right.
On Tuesdays. Make it our thing.
Got anyone in mind?
No, just anyone out there. Like anyone on, you know.
Oh, it doesn't. Okay.
Someone on line three. We'll just, you know, Joe Sheehan, Joe Madden, and then we're the Ishii show.
Joe and Palos.
Joe Cowley on.
Yeah.
Joe Cowley.
Could have been Joe Cowley.
Joe Cowley would be good.
Him and I were going back on Twitter a little bit.
Hi, Shep. Hey, guys.
How you doing over there, buddy?
We're good. How are you?
We're fine, thanks.
We can't see our producers.
Hey, I get to see you guys in like 40 minutes or so.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't heard the station in the last couple of days, we're undergoing some construction, and if it sounds like we're a little hollow, it's because we are. We're in a big room. It's a kitchen that they do a lot of video recording in. Television programming, but they've given it to us for the next month, which probably means at least 6 weeks.
Yes.
So it's going to sound a little bit echoey for a little while, but we'll all press on.
I hope so. We have no other choice.
I miss my guys.
Of course.
Yeah, I do. I go down twice a show, just say hello.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah.
someone has to stay here and do all the reads, so they have to come see me if they want to hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt Nagy.
Someone needs to listen to when they're being told to do those reads too.
Yeah, that's true. Trust me, I'm not going to be about 100%.
Oops, I pulled the Grody. I ratted.
Oh, my bad. Let's see here. We have an update on the kicking situation that Bears fans are going to either laugh or cry at. Coming up with Mark Grody in a little bit, but first here is all the pertinent baseball conversation with Lawrence Holmes and Joe Maddon.
Since you're out there staring at the Rocky Mountains, what was it like for you to be there as Carlos Gonzalez comes back to Denver?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, you realize how the people feel about him. Of course, you kind of knew that, but then when you actually see it, it carries a different weight to it. Prior to the game, they put a little thing up on the board, a tribute to him up on the board as he was playing catch in the left field, and that was neat. And then his at-bat, you know, it was a big crowd last night. My God, Monday night, huge crowd. I was talking to Nolan Arenado afterwards, and he was really impressed with the crowd. It was. So he's a huge crowd paying tribute to one of their stars from the past, and I thought it was awesome.
How's he fit in the first week or so that he's been a Cub?
Well, he's wonderful. He's a professional. He's a professional, man. He gets ready. He's I know he feels, again, that at ease, and again, he's not here to try to impress us. He's here to play and help us win. I've had some brief conversations with him, but he's very self-assured. And you see him the whole game. I mean, saw the homer the other day at home, some really good at-bats. And the defense, the guy's a better defender than he'd been, although he'd won some gold gloves. He's really a good defender, so all this stuff is becoming obvious.
Cubs manager Joe Maddon joining me here on The Score. What were your conversations with Craig Kimbrel like?
You know, in the beginning when I first met him in the hallway with Theo and the guys, just started out by telling him how happy we are that he is here. Obviously that I'd been a fan in the past. And also I'd gotten a text from Troy Percival, and Percy wanted me to tell him that he's his favorite. So I relayed that to Craig also. But it's been primarily about you know, just trying to get to know him a little bit, and also having him understand that I'm an advocate also of not rushing through this process of getting here. Make sure that all the boxes are checked, that you feel good, that you're strong and ready to rock and roll, and to not hurry anything. And he was in agreement with that. It was really in a press conference. It came through very clearly how much of a family guy he is, and really how, again, self-assured he is. He's very comfortable in his own skin and how he speaks, and I really appreciated that too.
Joe, do you mind if I ask you a little bit about the process of getting him ready? Because quite honestly, I don't know enough about it. I just wanted to ask you a little bit. So, like, who's there in Arizona to work with Kimbrel?
Our staff there for the Arizona extended spring. So they'll be out there, and I can't tell you specifically all the coaches that are there, but it's almost like a normal spring training, where he will throw on the side with just the catcher with the coach watching him. And the coach that will be watching him will be made aware of all the different things that Craig needs, or you know, particular points that keeps him in line. And it'll be a conversation between Craig and the pitching coach. They'll do that a couple, three times, and then they'll do it with hitters. And then not like necessarily a game, but like you do in spring training, they normally go through about three, maybe four, calm side pieces where they throw just the catcher. And then after you're satisfied with that, they actually put hitters in there for BP. Probably like up to 10 minutes of throwing on the side, and then maybe start out with 25 pitches to hitters. And then you build in with that. And then after maybe two times throwing the hitters, then you get to the point where you're ready to throw it and actually in a game. It could be a simulated game where we could deem that he's ready to go out and pitch in an actual game with the minor league club. So it goes from throwing on the side with just the catcher, just like spring training, to throwing the hitters, like a elevated batting practice, to eventually either a simulated game or with the minor league affiliate.
So the players that are there are minor league players, or is it like ex-players that might be there?
No, minor league guys, all minor league guys, young, really young too, very young, very inexperienced, so I'm sure they'll be literally blown away by his stuff.
Okay, all right, well, thank you. I appreciate you kind of explaining the process, because I was curious about all the things that would have to happen between now and him getting to Iowa, And your approach is one of being cautious, right? That you don't want to rush this with him because there's still a lot of baseball to be played.
Yeah, there's no reason to. And it's not any different than a normal spring training where just think of it as spring training for him. That's it. I mean, with us, like Pedro Strop, even though we reported maybe, February, whatever, 20th, we did all the pitcher's drills. And that's another thing he's got to cover first. He's got to throw to the bases, all the other different kind of PFPs, pitcher's fielding practices. And then like Stropey, we did not actually pitch him in a game maybe till like the first week of March. You try to parcel out maybe 7 or 8 appearances during spring training for the guys. And so just think of it like a 3-week window of spring training or 4 week. I'm not sure exactly how long it's going to take. It could even be quicker. I'm not certain. But it's all based on the kind of shape that he's in. He's been throwing a lot, working out a lot. But the window normally for our relievers in camp is the first week of March till about the beginning of the season in April.
Theo was on our air on Friday, and he was talking about how big a role that Dave Ross played in helping Kimbrel get signed. I'd love to know from you the fact that your catcher, a guy that knows how you think, is still a part of this organization, is able to put his eyes on a potential signing. How valuable is that to you?
It is, and plus the fact that you have confidence in his opinion matters a lot, too. And obviously you would think that just based on, you know, people saw how David was here and how well he did and almost like being a coach on the field. So none of that is a surprise. Rossi and I talk a lot. We have great conversation. He is eager to learn. He wants to. I really believe Major League managership is in his foreseeable future. And he's just trying to prep himself. But then Theo gives him a scouting assignment, which I love. Because to me, and I've encouraged David to do this, I really think a lot of these guys that are managing now young, it'd be really benefit them to go manage rookie ball and scout free agent scouting for a season or two before they really jump into a major league dugout. I think the most valuable thing I've ever done is to scout. And part of my territory was right here in Denver. I used to, from Arizona, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico was my territory. And I remember watching Darrell Ackerfels up here and Mike Trujillo and all these guys that came through Denver at that time had a great base. I could go on and on, but I mean, to scout and to manage and then manage rookie ball would be great because that's when you see guys really as novices, and you could see what it looked the product looks like before it becomes Mike Trout or whomever, or Anthony Rizzo or Chris Bryant. All those things to me are important. I don't think enough guys do that, where you get in your car and pound the bushes and scout locally, and then go manage a bunch of guys that are really coming out of the womb, and then take your craft to a higher level, and you could really understand patience and how to build a player into a major league player.
Once Kimbrel gets here, he has a defined role. Like we know that from his career. What does that do for you when it comes to figuring out how your day is going to go on the mound?
Well, it really it's like when you insert a really good hitter into a batting order, it makes the batting order longer and it makes your bullpen longer. Now that you can use guys sooner in the game if necessary. Right now, our starters have been doing such a wonderful job. It's been somewhat easier to match up the latter part of the game. But there's going to be days it's not like that. And when you have enough length in your bullpen, you could hold a small deficit or a small lead in the fifth or sixth inning. Makes all the difference in the world when you get that extra victory by the end of the season. So it lengthens the pen. It puts different guys in different roles earlier in the game. Some will be more suited for that, and some will be more comfortable with that. So when you have the closer at the end of the game, like Kimbrel, it really makes the bullpen longer.
Joe, Kyle Schwarber is really taken to the leadoff spot again over the last 2 weeks. He's been pretty good. What's he doing right at the plate?
Well, he's not missing his pitch. I think he's put himself in better position to not miss his pitch. And I don't want to get into too much detail about that, but when guys are really good hitters, and really good hitters don't miss their pitch often. They don't foul it off. They don't take it. And more recently, he's not been fouling it off, and he's not been taking it. Like last night, the punch out in the game, I mean, Wade's done that to a lot of guys. He just popped a nasty hook in there to end the game. I'm not worried about stuff like that. But overall, Kyle's at-bats have been really he's maturing. He's maturing in the batter's box. He's set up. I'm liking it even better. He's more handsy. He's keeping the body out of it. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And as long as he maintains this method, he can sustain this for a bit.
Okay, good. I mean, that's good because that, I would imagine, alleviates a lot of pressure on you if you got guys that you feel comfortable in different roles in your lineup.
Oh, yeah. Now, we're going to have to test it out. We go to L.A. When you get all these lefties showing up. I think we got, out of the next eight games starting in Los Angeles, maybe five left-handed starters, which we don't normally see. If you look at the NL Central, it's a very right-handed heavy division. And when you go out west, it tends to get more heavily left-handed. So that's where we're going to be tested regarding all this theory, giving Kyle a shot to lead off against some really high-end lefties with Kershaw, Hill, and Ryu. And I haven't decided yet exactly how we're going to work the lineup in those three games out of the four. Then we get back home. There's a lefty pitching for the Mets, Vargas, and one the series before that. The White Sox have a lefty throwing. So there's a different Met that's going to be showing up very soon.
This weekend against the Cardinals, it seemed like it was one of those series that had a lot of energy in the crowd. Did you feel that in the dugout?
No question. Yep. I mean, yes. And then what was it? When did we have the makeup game? Was it with the Angels where we had 40,000 on a Monday in a makeup game? That's ridiculous. Nobody gets that. So our fans have been awesome. The place has been buzzing. It's there's no place like it. No place like it. It's just a different vibe. And, yes, our players feed off the energy.
Do not mention a certain guy who plays left field. Otherwise, the conversation's over.
Thank you, Les. That was Lawrence Holmes with Joe Maddon earlier today.
And Joe Maddon also complimented the crowd in Colorado last night at Coors Field for an early in the week game. And you know what? It was a lot of Cubs fans, and I see why. On a 60-inch television, a 4K TV, don't mean to be a bragger to
say,
I don't live
don't
on the
yourself.
Block where the ocean is like Francesor. But Coors Field just sparkles on television. It crackles. It is very much akin to Pittsburgh, where the Pirates play. PNC Park, I think, is still the sponsor there.
Yeah, I've never been to PNC Park. I'm not a huge, I've got to check off every ballpark off my list guy. It's not been something that I've tried to do in my travels, but I have been to Coors Field a couple of times. It's great.
PNC, I think, 101s, I think. That's your number one.
You know, that's what I've heard. And I got a really good friend who lives and works in Pittsburgh in sports radio, is why I mentioned that he works there. And he says it's incredible.
Yeah.
So,
I love Fenway. So I like a lot of the older parks too, because, you know, I'm a baseball human, as Matt Spiegel would say. But PNC has all the old school charm of Fenway, but with all the modern amenities, which is crucial.
Yeah. Well, they got a great cash room at Fenway. A couple of guys married to women named Linda inside. We talked very briefly today about judging you, Darvish. You know, and Grobber commented last, and we played the caller from the Quad Cities with Doug, I think was his name, with Les earlier, and it was funny, and Les gets mad for no reason. But Les was talking about, well, he blew a four-run lead. Yeah, factually, he did. The Cubs hit three homers and scored four in the top of the third, and the Rockies come back, and they tie the game on a couple of homers. I'm not going to pound away on you, Darvish, because Charlie Blackmon homered at Coors Field on what was a pretty good pitch, I thought.
Yeah, listen, when Charlie Down Blackmon and Nolan Arenado, two really good hitters in a really hitter-friendly ballpark. I'm kind of beyond one game analysis of Yu Darvish now that we know he's healthy, right? Like early in the season, it was, does this guy have it between the ears and is he healthy? Now he's clearly healthy and he is just close to looking good. Like he'll have a couple of innings and he'll have a stretch and he'll have 50 pitches and it'll look like it's almost there. He's got to do it for a stretch of time for me to get legitimately excited. And so that'll be positive or negative. If he came out next time and had seven shutout innings, I'm sure we'd talk about it more. But it would still just be one start. He needs a prolonged stretch for me to get excited.
Place is a launching pad. It really is.
It is.
It looks like a lot of fun. I've not spent any time in Denver, only flying through. Odd that I have never been there. As a guy who loves the outdoors and the great history of football in that town, never been to a baseball game there. It fell too quickly to when we started last year, but it would have been perfect for us because when the Cubs were there last year, even though you and I are not big on the 420 celebration, it would have been a great
launch for the show.
It would have been perfect. I'm going in a couple weeks. I'll be in Denver for a wedding in 2 weeks from now.
You know what doesn't look so good on a 60-inch 4K TV?
What's that?
Chris Bryant running as hard as he can from first to third on an Anthony Rizzo signal. Tell me, single. Tell me the truth. You were holding your breath.
I was thinking of you.
That's my boy.
I'm willing to say I was thinking of you.
Because he was moving.
He was.
He wanted third. It was the right thing to do to try to get third.
There's a difference between smart base runner and good base runner is what you've pointed out there. And he is a smart base runner, but it doesn't come easily.
Yeah, I was relieved an inning or two. Maybe it was the inning prior when he was on second base and Rizzo's bomb to center field cleared the wall so he didn't have to run real fast. Like,
got to jog.
Chris, he won't get hurt here. He can jog in.
So you're not worried about him on the home run trout?
No, I think he's fine on that.
It's like Happy Gilmore with the hole in one. This is so much easier than putting. I should just try to get it in one every time.
That's how he got hurt the other day. That's how he came up lame. He was thinking about, was it first to second, but I think he was thinking first to third, wasn't he? Or was he trying to stretch to a an extra base?
Yeah, he was taking an extra base, right? It wasn't a single to a double. Yeah, he came around first, and he rolled the ankle.
Yeah, careful. It's slippery over there.
It can get you. Just, listen, it's June, 11th?
Yeah.
Nothing with makes or misses for kickers matters.
But
there's a report that Mark Grody will file with Matt Nagy Sound that we're going to just all get through it together coming up on The Score.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
I love that so much. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you and see you in October. Before we go to Hallis Hall and Mark Grody, Mac, you'll be happy to know from Daryl Van Scowen on Twitter. He covers the White Sox for the Sun-Times. White Sox spokesperson said that the woman struck by a foul ball last night was released from the hospital. She came back for her vehicle early this morning.
Okay.
Got to get the car.
No news from the White Sox and when they want to protect their fans from being hit by foul balls and hospitalized.
No word.
Did she get charged for parking for tonight's game?
Excellent question. We'll add it to the list when we get someone on, Jeff.
Why would they never want to come on?
Because some of the lot attendants over on the south side are so congenial.
Just give them a Dan McNeil book of sports lists. Mark Grody had an eventful day at Hallis Hall, if my Twitter timeline is any indication. What was it like at minicamp, Grody?
Oh, it was great today. We had, several moments today, but maybe the best moment came late in the day today when Matt Nagy spoke to us. And at one point in time during the practice today, all three kickers missed consecutively. Chris Blewett, Eddie Pinheiro, and Elliot Fry missed back to back to back, and here was Nagy's reaction to it.
Whatever went through your mind went through my mind.
Can we write that? Can we write what went through my mind?
Just say you're thinking of it. That's about as real as it gets. They were 0-for-3 out there. And for today, that's not good. I mean, we can't have that.
Can't have it.
How far was it? Grody, you didn't tell us how far the kick was, did you?
42 yards.
Okay.
That's
the standard.
That's what Matt Nagy was approximating when he was talking about it. So all three missed. It's
And this is with a rush or just the snap, the hold, and the kick?
Snap, hold, and the kick.
That's it. From 42 yards.
Yes. So,
okay. Gentlemen, here's your red tag. Yeah. Thanks for your time.
Well, I mean, the popular opinion has been, I think, from a lot of us, many people, that maybe the kicker who wins the competition is not necessarily on the roster right now. He might be. It might still be one of those three guys, but it's also possible that he is not on the roster at this point. But this was a bad look and a bad day. And as we have noticed all along, Matt Nagy not afraid to talk about it, not afraid to tell us about it, and not afraid to tell us that he can't have it, plain and simple. So, okay. That, yeah.
It's the 11th of June. We're 6 weeks from Bourbonnais-ish, and we still have a kicking situation on our hands. Okay, if no one gets hurt this mini camp, I'm good with that.
Sure. It's just...
we're going to have a kicking situation on our hands until some guy doesn't miss.
I agree. I'm just wondering, do they have any talent at kicker? Like, are any of these guys good with potential, or is it just three guys who suck?
I mean, like,
it's the name of the band.
Eddie Pinheiro has a very strong leg. We know that Elliot Fry has some professional experience, and I thought heading into today, and now I really don't know, I thought that Chris Blewett was the clubhouse leader for the job, just done based on things that I've heard and seen. But at this point in time, and I've said this throughout, Danny, like, nobody really knows. Nobody that's observing, none of us really knows, except for the guys like Chris Tabor and his assistants and his team. Like, they're the ones who know what's going on, and we can all watch, and it's pretty obvious when things are going poorly and guys are missing. But who truly is the best out of those three, I don't know yet, and I don't know that anybody else knows at this point.
I heard a cliche yesterday afternoon that was new to me, and I like it. I am going to deploy it next time it's applicable, and that came from Chris Tannehill when he told me snitches get stitches.
Yeah, that's not that new.
It's not that new?
It's okay.
I've never heard that before. Have you heard that expression, Groney?
I have not, no. Then okay. Why are you bringing it up?
Well, because you ratted on me yesterday.
Yeah,
you
what's
had to
up
mention,
with that?
You had to mention the vape thing on
well,
the air.
Well, now, it was kind of an involuntary reaction. I mean, you're blowing smoke in my face as
it
we're sitting in that
in
kitchen.
Your face.
Yeah, it
kind
of was. It was in my general direction. And it was just so Salute. Odd and out of context and out of place
okay.
that I had to mention. And it sounds like you're kind of mad.
No. No, I'm just pretending.
Okay.
I'm mad at Mitch for sending me an email at 5:30 in the morning telling me not to vape in the kitchen here.
Are you
yeah,
serious?
5:39.
See, now I do feel bad.
So I replied to him, and I said, how did you find out about it? And he said, I listened to the Score Sports Radio 670 yesterday afternoon, and it was right there for me.
I didn't want to tell on you.
Snitches get stitches.
See, now the thing is I always thought that your show was the show that was the irreverent show where you could just kind of say anything, and now you're making me feel like I can't
say stuff like that.
So.
Say whatever you want.
Okay.
Yeah, I did when he continued on that path today fairly seriously, and I was just joking. I considered walking to the parking garage to go get it and bring it back today.
Well that's you.
I send you guys the text with all the stuff that I'm planning to do, and I get rat from McNeil. Usually he'll send me like something fun, or he'll
Bears.
Add on
jersey
to my,
number of
like Bears
or
jersey, and just sends
gone.
He sends rat. So I got to thinking, is McNeil actually angry about
no,
this?
I could like, never okay. get angry with you.
Okay,
you know that, right?
Okay, I don't know. I thought maybe this was our first moment.
No,
I thought that we
no.
had our first fight.
No,
you know, which
we won't.
Would mean, okay,
we
right,
won't.
Cool.
We're brothers forever.
Bears.
Big names spoke today on the defensive side. What was most interesting, Grody?
Let's start with Eddie Jackson.
Fellow Tidesman.
The Bears All-Pro safety. One of the themes has been since the OTAs is the tenacity that has existed in practice. And here's Eddie on that.
The competition level is set really high. You know, we've been going at it, you know, these past few weeks because Nagy had to step in and talk to the O-line, D-line, like, all right, he loved it, but just coming down and not. So Coach Pagano, he just told us he wanted everyone to watch a film hour day.
Players don't always look forward to the grind of training camp, but would it be fair to say that you guys are looking forward to it? Because I keep hearing that you guys want to start hitting and put the pads on.
Oh, yeah, man. Like I said, man, that first round game, that's just fuel to our fire right now. We know we came up short, so we just ready to get back at it. You know, and you can tell everyone was here 100% for OTAs. You know, everyone was here. So that just shows you that everyone's on board and we're really ready to chase greatness.
Yeah, chasing great is the theme of the season set forth by the head coach, Matt Nagy. I believe he unveiled it at the Bears 100. And as you guys know, Jackson achieved that last season with the 6 picks, a pair of forced fumbles, and just for the heck of it, 15 pass deflection as well. But, yeah, that's been an ongoing theme. You know, there was a point today in practice where Taylor Gabriel catches a touchdown pass in the corner of the end zone with Kyle Fuller guarding him. And then they do have a ref out here, and he said that Gabriel was bobbling the ball and that Pagano influenced the decision. So you had both the offense and the defense in a good-natured way jawing back and forth at each other. So it does feel real out here in terms of the competition and the want to.
And those who are notables who aren't participating because of injuries?
The only notable guy, Mac, in that regard is Trey Burton because of the sports hernia. And then Anthony Miller, too. He has been out because of his shoulder surgery in the offseason. The plan is, and my guess is that both of those guys should be full force by the start of training camp at the end of July.
What did we learn, if anything, from Khalil Mack today?
Yeah, so Khalil Mack... you got to hear his response is just awesome here. He was asked if he was affected in a negative way, badly, by not having a training camp last year and not knowing the language of the defense. Here's Mac.
I mean, you tell me. I knew that I was going to be ready whatever happened. You know what I mean? I wanted to be prepared. Physically, more so than anything. But getting the understanding of this game on the fly, you can kind of say that, you know what I mean, ultimately you're gonna have the same patterns, you're gonna have some of the same coverages, and so ultimately it's gonna all kind of be the same in a sense, just different words.
Did it hold you back though last year?
Not so much, but I know it could have helped me having the offseason.
Not so much. Yeah, 12 and a half sacks, not so much. He also said, Max said that he chatted with Richard Dent, the 85 Bear, one of the greatest sack masters in the history of the NFL, talked for about 30 minutes, and Mac was asked if he is going to use some of the teaching of Richard Dent, and he said immediately, hell yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to use some of those different teachings.
Bears.
I wonder if you would put on the game review, the fourth quarter of the Bears-Packers opening week last year, if Khalil Mack would have such a chesty response.
Because he got a little tired?
All of them did.
Yeah, they did. No, they
ran out of gas in the fourth quarter. That's why they lost to Green Bay on opening night.
Yeah, there were a couple times last year. Well, I think that they did seem tired in the Green Bay game. They were affected by the heat in Miami, and I remember they were tired in the Thanksgiving Day game against Detroit. So, yeah, I do think that.
He got signed 8 days before they opened. He wasn't in camp. Of course, he's not going to. I think he played 42 snaps, if memory serves.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, he did say that he could have benefited from having a little bit more time to learn. And I think that's why he thinks he's going to have an even bigger season last year. And he had a legitimate all-pro season last year. And speaking of Chuck Pagano, everybody is asking everybody on the defense, like, what does it mean to have Chuck Pagano this year and you don't have Vic Fangio? We finally got a really good response in that regard from Kyle Fuller talking about Chuck Pagano being a much more vocal coach than Vic Fangio was for this defense. And here's Fuller.
It's pretty impressive. Like, Vic was a great coach, but, you know, just working with Chuck now, I'm pretty impressed with his, like, you know, his teaching style, his coaching style, his life experiences, or just he makes you, you know, sit there and nod your head, like, just after what he says, you know, you're like, that's really real. You can really apply that to on the field, off the field. Stories, the way he talks, the way he, you know, the way he delivers it, that just speaks about himself, you know, type person he is, you know, which we knew coming in. And I think every day we get a chance to work with him, he shows that.
Yeah, so while it's obvious, you know, from last year and from hearing guys talk about Vic Fangio as he left for his head coaching opportunity in Denver, like, there's immense respect for Vic Fangio, and the players liked Vic Fangio, but you definitely get the feeling that Pagano is more of a player's coach, more in touch with these guys, more communicative with these guys, and it's pretty obvious that they appreciate it.
Any Bears nuggets we need before you get out of here, Grody? This is good stuff.
Oh, you know, one other thing is, and I know you will like this. Both of you guys will enjoy it. Mitchell Trubisky is speaking tomorrow. And there was still much, much glowing about Bears 100. I told you about the conversation that Khalil Mack had with Richard Dent. Matt Nagy was asked what was his greatest moments of the weekend, and he said it was meeting Coach Ditka.
Course.
Bears.
Yeah, I don't think I heard a T in Ditka when he said it. I think he said Ditka. I got to go back and listen to the tape, and I'm pretty sure he said
Ditka.
I enjoyed meeting and talking to Coach Ditka.
Ditka. All right, Grody. Thank you. I love you. I always will.
Okay, thank God. Guys, have a great day.
Bears. That is our Bears reporter, Mark Grody. You said that you have something for Shep here.
I do. Shep is going to be doing the show that will stretch you, build you a bridge to Zach Zaidman's pregame show from Coors Field. I have something for him from his favorite movie that I'm going to attempt to confirm tonight.
Oh, okay.
He may know it.
I'm sure. I mean, if he doesn't, can we call him a Jaws expert?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll bring Shep in anyway, next on the score.
The people talk.
All right, Nick Shepkowski, Jaws expert, and our executive producer.
Our executive producer, who we don't see much with this construction studio out of which we will operate for the next 6 weeks or so. I'm calling it 6 weeks because calling it 4 weeks just gets everyone's hopes up. You know it ain't going to be 4 weeks. What's your guess, Shep?
I would always go with they're going to overpromise, underdeliver is kind of the idea.
Yeah, so six weeks at least.
6 weeks at least.
Okay.
So, yeah, I felt like it was a reliever or a pinch hitter for an opposing team at Wrigley Field walking from the clubhouse to come down here. It's just like you're going down the hallway and you're so used to just walking across the glass and coming out. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, now I got to go down this hallway. There's this hallway.
We are far from you guys.
Like, man, there's a reason we don't go see each other every commercial break.
My little brother is in town, Shep, and my son Patrick is crazy about his Uncle Mike, and Patrick doesn't get to choose much, so he's chosen tonight's movie already, and he wants to watch Jaws.
It's my guy.
And I thought that you would be the right guy to ask this question to, because the last time I saw it, and it probably was viewing 150, I don't know, 75 is a long freaking time ago. I saw it at the theater at least
44
twice.
Years,
yes, yeah, very good. Yeah. You get the same. At the end of the film, when Quint is being eaten by the shark, when the shark is hideously, the only thing dumber in Jaws was when the shark was bashing the boat repeatedly. It's like, how does a shark do that?
Reverse that fast?
Right, the double headbutt.
Yeah. Oh, it was mechanical. Yes, it helped.
Yeah, probably. But when he's given, when the shark has Quint,
sharks out of the water
on the back of the boat,
literally climbing up the boat.
Yep, and he's got Quint engulfed about to the waist, and he picks up Quint and slams him a time or two on the deck of the boat at the stern. The last time he smacks him down, I could have sworn I heard a crunching spinal cord, and I never have noticed it before. And we're going to watch on the big screen tonight in the big audio room, and I'm going to have to crank it up. Have you ever noticed the crunching of the spinal cord on the final slam by Jaws?
You're talking just audio on that.
Yes.
Like the crunch. I've heard the crunch.
I don't know
what the crunch is. Spinal cord, I don't know what the crunch is.
It's there's some, you hear the tissue being torn, you hear ripping skin, but then you hear a definitive crack, and it's like, that just busted his spine. His
so you think it might have been torso or a femur?
Yeah, I thought it could be any part of it. He gets cut right in half. He gets eaten in half.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was. How do you know it's specific to the spinal cord?
I think it's the thickest joint in that part of the body where he had him. I don't think a rib would make that kind of. I don't know. I don't know.
Another part that I didn't understand is why then is Quint, when he gets eaten in half or bitten in half, why is he immediately spitting up blood through his mouth?
Because of the internal bleeding.
Yeah, but yeah, he's that fast?
Yes.
Like,
well, yeah,
quickly?
you got to.
I've never bled like that before internally, so
you've never been bitten by a big shark?
Not three tons of them,
Chief. Yeah, you're going to bleed fast with that kind of pressure.
This is fascinating.
Like, it's immediate. That blood is rushing out of his mouth. I'm like, wow, that happened quick. That escalated
That's
quickly.
Really interesting.
We'll get back to this on Thursday. We're off tomorrow for Cubs Rockies. You're going to have to wait for Thursday.
The update? I'm going to be dying. I need to know.
You guys are aware that Chris Tannehill's a jerk, right? Have you both been in the same problem I've had all day? Humming heat of the moment to yourself since exactly 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you can't get it out of your head no matter what happens.
His open Stay With Me, either the show open or the Grody open or the John Morosi open, they all stay with me.
I'm still on yesterday's.
Come
I'm
on,
still
guys.
Doing Pat Hughes.
Stop
doing
talking about how great I am. We got to get out of here.
See you cats Thursday. I'm going home.
All righty.
All right. That's Dan McNeil. Shep's our executive producer. He's coming up next. Chris Tannehill's adequate at his job. He handles the sound around here. Shep, who did we have on the show today? We had Mark Grody on the show. We had John Morosi on the show. And
Radio.com.
Radio.com, Matt Steinmetz.
That's right.
All right. Excellent.
Radio.com, Sports Insider.
That's right. Nick Shepkowski's coming up next. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
Had a good sound to it.
That's how you do it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.